to bring us the awareness of the Holy Spirit that is with us. This is not a popular teaching in the body of Christ. It's not something that you hear all the time. You could be a Christian for 10 years, 15, and never hear about the Spirit of God in this way, being emphasized for a long time, so that we understand who God has sent to us. We had very marvelous testimonies yesterday at the believers' meeting. People are experiencing really the reality of the Spirit of God with them. The believers' meeting is not, it's a meeting that the Holy Spirit recommended for the church, which the church doesn't practice. Called believers' meeting because the scripture says that when you come together, you Christians come together. It says some have scriptures, some have doctrine, some have this. So it's a meeting where Christians minister to one another. It's not where the pastors minister to. It's where Christians minister to one another. If the pastor has something to say, he can. But believers come and the Spirit of God uses them to minister to what? Come on, to minister to what? One another. We're used to sitting and the pastor is ministering to you. But this one is where you minister to one another. And that's why you develop a lot. It's in your Bible. But because it's not being practiced, we miss. And at the beginning of this year, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to start the believers meeting. Because the scripture says, when you come together, some have this, some have said, have a meeting where Christians will practice allowing me to use them. Minister to one another. They practice word of, can get, they can get word of knowledge, they can get anything. See, the idea of sitting and somebody ministering to you is what makes them just sit and they should learn to know that they are also vessels that God also uses. And a forum should be created for them to develop it, practice it, benefit from it. And it was marvelous yesterday. People who were there will tell you it was really marvelous. So in that meeting, some people began to share testimonies about the reality of the Spirit of God working with them. It was very, very edifying, very encouraging. Very, very interesting. So the Holy Spirit was given to us. Jesus handed the church over to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit told us in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Communion should be with every Christian. Communion of the Holy Spirit. Communion, communion, communion should be with every Christian. Every Christian who enjoys the grace of God, enjoys the love of God, will also have the communion of the Holy Spirit, active communion. And we said that communion means participation by all, sharing. Like we have the Holy Communion. When we come for Holy Communion, we are simply sharing the body that we are. We are remembering that we are sharing from the body of Christ. The Bible says, of his fullness, we have all received blessings, grace upon grace. We are sharing from the body of Christ that we are one, we have equal access to Christ and the blessings. So it's a sharing where you share your life with the Spirit of God that God sent to you. And then we started to say, but who is the Holy Spirit? People have all manner of ideas about the Holy Spirit. Some people think he's an influence. So unless people fall down, they won't know he's there. All manner of imaginations in human mind about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a personality who can be grieved. It's a personality. It can be grieved. It's not just an influence, it's a personality. Just like when Jesus was here as a personality. And the Holy Spirit is a personality too. He is the Spirit of God. He also is the Spirit of Jesus. But there's only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's no two Holy Spirit. The same Spirit of God that God has is the same Spirit of God that Jesus has, because God, Jesus is God. Can I hear amen? So, but some of you who were not here, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you'll find it there. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If it dwells, what? In you. Now, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of it. So he called him the Spirit of God. What else did they call him? Come on, church. What else did they call him? Dwelling in you. Where does it dwell? In your spirit or in your body? In your spirit. At least I overheard one of these big preachers that millions listened to was talking that the Holy Spirit does not live in your spirit. It lives in your body. It's not true. It's not true. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. Because the Bible said that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Then he was quoting Corinthians chapter 6. What the Bible says, your body is the temple. It didn't say your body is what? It says the temple. The word temple is illustrative. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. Your body is the outer. It's not where he lives. The word temple tells you that if you look at the temple at Jerusalem, the presence of God was in the inner. Yes, but the wall wasn't where he was. The presence of God was in the inner. Your spirit is the inner presence. And then the Bible tells us that the flesh is dead because of sin. What does it mean dead? Has no presence of God in the flesh. That's what it's meant. Because it's sinful, it's dead. God is not in your flesh. It's dead. Say, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The spirit is life. Why? It is our spirit that is joined to Christ. So it's life. It has life. The word life and death is the one that has God in it is life. The one that doesn't have God in it is what? Dead. He said the flesh is dead because of sin. So you couldn't have God in the flesh. And the Bible says, Paul said, in my flesh there is nothing good. Absolutely nothing good. So I want you to understand that, because when you listen to all these big time preachers, you should take these things with a pinch of salt. Make sure you go to the scripture to find out exactly what the scripture is saying. Can I hear amen? So, the Spirit of God lives in us, lives in you. It's called the Spirit of Christ. So, it's really Christ in his spirit form. It's God in spirit form. When Jesus came here, they said, God is here. God is here, Emmanuel, God with us. Because he's God. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. This Christ with us, God with us, in the spirit form. If you understand that, say amen. And then he told his disciples before he left, he said, I'll come back to you. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming back to you. He said, because I leave, you shall. So I'm coming to walk in. Because I leave, you shall leave also. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And you will not be wrong to say that's the Spirit of Christ too. He is here to teach us, to be our guide. In John chapter 16, verse 13, He is our guide. He's our teacher. He's here to teach us. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what? All truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So he came to reveal to us all truth. And the truth is found in who? In Christ. That is the truth that sets you free. The truth in Christ is the truth of the work of salvation. It's the execution of divine plan for mankind, which was consummated in Christ Jesus. That is the saving truth that is found only in Christ. Now, he says he will glorify me. So he will come and teach us the truth that is found in Christ, the testimony of what God did for mankind through the coming, the death on the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things have very significant roles to play. It's not just the cross. After he died on the cross, he was also what? Buried. And the Bible says, if he did not get up from there, our faith is still vain. So the resurrection of Christ is also significant. And then his ascension to heaven is also what? Significant. The Bible says he went there to obtain eternal redemption for us. So his death, his burial, his resurrection, the Christian must know the truth that is in Christ through all these things. Must be familiar with them because they were done for him, for his benefit. And this is the truth that forms the sword of the Spirit. You don't fight with 10 commandments. You don't. The truth of God, the word of God, is vested in all of these things. So that's what forms the sword of the Spirit. That's what forms the belt. That's what forms the shield of faith. So you begin to understand the importance of this ministry of the Holy Spirit of guiding us into all truth. Also, the truth that is not revealed in the Bible, like where God wants you to live, what God wants you to do, all those kind of daily things, that is also guidance that we need so that we know where God is and where God is moving and what God is doing. So he guides us into all the truth. Amen. And so he helps us to know things. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know things. Without him, I will know nothing. And without him, you will know nothing. It makes you know things that are freely given. The things that are freely given to us by God is what he makes us to know. We know them. We what? We know them. It's important to know them. Very, very important to know them. The things that are freely given to you by God, it's important that you know them. Because you can't live the Christian life without those things. They are indispensable. Must know them. And knowing them, it's not just you can rattle them in your mind. To know them is to have an experiential knowledge of them, all of them. Praise the Lord. And David began to enumerate the benefits of his guiding you and guiding me. In Psalm 23, from verse 1. The Lord is my what? What does the shepherd do? He guides. Then he says, one of the benefits is I shall not want. You see, when we don't take note of what the scripture is telling us, you know, we read this. Then from childhood, we've been reading it off head. But like I said some time ago, the Christian lives powerlessly because he doesn't know nothing. Brethren, knowledge is power. Rituals cannot help you. Is it not your life? Rituals will take you nowhere. What will help you is knowing this truth. When we read these things growing up, we'll rattle through them. It never really ministered to us that the Spirit of God is showing us that when I come to guide you, these are the benefits of my guiding you so that you don't joke with my guidance. The Lord is my what? I know. Somebody left his lights on. You don't like, you want to buy a battery from me. The Lord is my what? What is the benefit there? What? So if I get myself involved in what he didn't lead me, once we come there. You know, one of the things the Lord told me is yesterday he was telling me what to tell the women on Saturday. He was telling me what to tell all these women on Saturday. I will tell you a bit of it. He says to tell them to stop using him. To stop what? Use him. He said, switch it around and let me use you. When I use you, you benefit. When you use me, you fail. We try to use God. So, we determine what we want. We decide what we want. And then we bring it to him in prayer and ask him to execute it for us. Yeah. And in order to make things matters worse, we claim he's the one guiding us. I know he's leading me there. Pastor, I'm sure. And when trouble comes, guess the first number to call? Pastor. Brethren, let me tell you. If God starts a thing, if God ever plans a thing, nobody can uproot it. I'm not kidding you. If God ever opens a door, nobody can close it. If God ever uses you to plant a thing, it's not an issue of devil. You can't touch it. You can't touch it. Are you kidding me? You dare not. But the scripture says, every tree not planted by my Father shall be what? Uprooted. So when they're uprooting these things, God didn't plant, we are yelling all over the place. But he says, look, you want to be in this situation? Let me be your shepherd. Let me be what? It's something you must train yourself to do. I'm not kidding you. And it's not a kid's glove stuff. Because to do things that please us is very interesting. Especially when everybody's clapping and saying, nah, you know what I did. That's a popular thing. Especially when he's bringing you money. I don't want to go further than that. Because I've seen people build after some years, everything crash like that. I don't want to go further than that. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Shall know. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Then the next thing David said, he makes me to lie down. Where? Is he not, if he's guiding you, who will take you to green pastures and make you stress is gone? Stress is all this sleeplessness. Is he your shepherd? He makes you lie down, not run all over the place. Not no, no. Calm down. Lie down. And you know where you're going to lie down? In what? Peter was fisherman, perfect, expert. So he was all night. There was a church we planted in Lambasa. They call it Lambasa. That's where all these rich men now have land. If I knew that, then I would have bought land. Man, that's where all these rich people have land now in Lagos. We were planting that church. I will leave my house by after 5 in the morning to be able to get there. Because the fishermen will come in the morning. That's when they're coming from the, yeah. And then they were mostly the people that we were doing church with. And the church consisted, when they come, we will go and cut palm front and put palm front around. And then we bring the chairs. That was the church. Today, that church is a district headquarters. As I'm talking to you. That pan we used to, and then all the fishermen will come, and they will hold service with them. Come and see the power of God at work. It's now, I think it's the district or divisional headquarters. It's a huge church right now. So they will come in the morning. So Peter was a very wonderful fisherman. But when Jesus came, he said to Peter, I want you to drop your what? Church, talk to me. Drop your what? Peter says, sir, you don't know what you're talking. I'm a professional. And we have toiled. We didn't catch anything. They don't catch fish by this time. He said, but if you say so, the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. He leadeth you beside green, to lie down where? He leads me beside. Still. Peter didn't know that the Lord was leading. He was walking by sight. That's why we run into trouble. Run into trouble. He sent him to guide us. But that's why the trouble mabush. But when Peter did what the Lord said, what happened? He has so much, he couldn't even pull it himself. And the Bible said they were great fish, all of them. You don't know the power of the Holy Spirit until he starts guiding you in life. He will use things that people call nothing, make something. Make something. I don't say he uses the things we use. He uses things that people don't call anything, turn it into something. Amazing. And he leads you beside still waters. He restored my, yeah. You know, yesterday the Lord was teaching me something. He said, let me tell you about life. He said, the life of the Christian is always like a car. Sometimes the flesh wants to push it, but the Spirit helps you to bring it back. So Paul said, I put my flesh under control. I buffeted it because it wants to go off. And then you correct it. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? It's never, sometimes it wants to go off. You say things, you think things, you do things, you are going off. All of a sudden you say, wait a minute. No. No, 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 no. You are going to go back. So he restored our soul. He leads us in the path of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. Continue. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. So when he's leading me, there's no fear. Fear of who? I will listen to Dr. Yonggi Cho's wife. I've been wanting to hear this woman preach. I really wanted to hear her. So yesterday night, I wanted to sleep. Somehow, I flipped back to my phone. So let me listen to a message. And here she was preaching. Dr. Cha is her name. Dr. Cha. She has a PhD. So she was talking about the husband. Talking about the ministry, the husband's ministry. She spoke about many things. She spoke about how God led the husband to a place to start where they are, and the church. He said, everybody said, you are wrong, Pastor. In that place, there is no road. There is no airport. There is no access to anything. It's something you don't want. And they say, who will come to church then? See the Spirit of God? But God said, go and start it. And they said they started to build and there was no money. And everybody descended on him. And said, you led us in the wrong. He said, my husband kept quiet. He said, in the midst of bankruptcy, they were going to go to, the costs were going to take, the banks were going to take them to call for bankruptcy. One man called him and said, are you strong in faith? He said, yeah. He said, are you sick in the body? He said, no. He said, my bank will release money on loan to you to finish all of this. From nowhere, the man showed up. And they gave them millions of dollars. Just like that. And today, that is the largest church in the whole world. That people, 800,000 people go to church there. But when God was leading him to do that, he looked foolish. Completely foolish. If you hear the story of that, what God is doing there. I watched their service last Sunday. Orderliness, incredible. Talk of honor to God. Incredible. Couldn't see anybody walking around. Those thousands. Nobody. That's what our brother, what's his name? Pedro was telling my wife, he said, I wish I could tell people to see orderliness. He said, nobody. So, if you walk to the valley of shadow of death, you will fear what? For you are your rod and your staff, they don't kill you. They comfort you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of what? So why should I, if I, yeah, look, you're here with me, I'm walking through the valley of shadow of it, I shall fear. So why should I fear any enemy anyway? So if you prepare a table, I'm eating. Because fear, there's no room for fear. It doesn't work. You anoint my head with what? Oil. My cup. See the blessings that flow with the first sentence, the Lord is my shepherd. So when we talk about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it should elicit interest in you. It's not just Bible study talk. It's something you go on your knees and go to God and say, Lord, I really want you to be my shepherd. I really want you to be my what? Shepherd. I really want you to guide me in life. I am done guiding myself. I don't know where the green pasture is. Only you know. And so he teaches us to love. He works in us to produce the love of God. And before I go on there, sometimes when we face severe storms of life, we think God didn't guide us there. Are you serious? Who led Jesus to the wilderness? Who led him to the wilderness? Who? Holy Spirit. To go and eat pizza? Sometimes we think because we face challenges, you think, oh God, it's not true. Sometimes you have to pass through that route to be able to manage what is sometimes, not always. Not always, don't misquote me now. Not always, some of you say it's foolishness. But sometimes, stay steady. The lessons of that place will help you for the one that will come in. Sometimes a training ground for you. That woman said something that blessed me. How many of us have had scars in our body before? Some of you have thin. I've had scars. Have you had scars in your body? You know what a scar is? She said something I never had it before. This thing blessed me. He said the scar is a sign that you have overcome. Scars only come when something has healed. You're done with it. He said the scar is a sign that you have what? Overcome. Have overcome. So scars of life can come. But they are proof that we have overcome. So now he teaches us to love. He works in us to produce the love of God in us. Without him, we can do nothing. So 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourself are taught of God to love one another. He teaches us to love. He's the one at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And remember that the love of God passeth. One of the ways he teaches us to love is to open our eyes, to see love, to see God's character, to see God's nature. The Bible says when we behold Christ, then the Spirit of God transforms us into that image we are seeing. So he opens our eyes. Not these eyes, because with these eyes you can't see nothing. Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, which means there's a different ear, there's a different eyes. Brethren, let me tell you the truth. There's a different eye. I've had people in this church come to me. And one was crying, part two. He said, Pastor, all the time I've been teaching on grace, he said, I got angry. Real story, he said, I got angry. I said, you can't get angry now. He said, I got angry. So every time, grace, every time. He said, one day, something pulled off my eyes. I began to cry. I said, oh my God, this is the true message of God. He said, Pastor, my life got transformed. I said, if I stop before then, you won't get it. If I stop before then, you won't get it. So God knew there are many who didn't understand it yet. It's not playing semantics. It's not making program thing. It's after saving lives and helping people to come to the true knowledge of God. He pulled me out. He was crying. He said, Pastor, I cried and cried. Another person came, told me this. The third person came, told me, since 2 weeks I've been crying. I've been crying. He said, truly, truly, it was like something. I said, yeah. The Spirit of God opens our eyes. I said, that's why you don't quarrel with people. They're not seeing what you are. See, why are you quarreling with them? You don't help people by forcing and fighting. You're just making matters worse. Instead, you go in and say, Lord, open their what? Once God opens their eyes, they come back to you and say, you know that thing you were? Hey, it's now I really, really, I see it now. I have seen what you were. My brother, now, wow, that's true. But you are beating a blind person. What use would that be? So he teaches us and reveals to us the love of God. And that's what God showed to Moses in Psalm 103, verse 7. Psalm That's what God showed to Moses, began to reveal to Moses the love of God, the grace of God. Psalm 103, verse 7. He revealed his character to Moses. He made known his ways. He revealed his character to who? To who? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals the character of God to you. He reveals the character of Christ to you, which is beyond human understanding. The love of God passes human understanding. So he reveals it. And that was what made the Moses made. He operated at the level people, even in this age, have now. God revealed it to him. Why Israel was looking for miracle deeds, which many Christians are searching for. He was looking for to know God. And he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. Verse 8. The Lord, see what he revealed to Moses. The Lord is what? Compassionate and merciful. This is the true nature of God. That is what revealing to Moses. Because Moses, he revealed his grace to Moses, and he taught Moses that no man can see me and know me except through grace. No man can know God or relate with God except through what? Grace. So he said, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get, and filled with what? I want you to say it. Filled with what? Look up here. Do you think that this is what we think about God? We think about God that, man, he's hard. I was telling the younger adults, I said, anybody complicating things of God for you, say religious Pharisee. God has made himself simple. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand him. There's nothing difficult about God. People who walk with Jesus were fishermen who didn't go to school. Peter and the Pharisee looked at them. They said, not only that they didn't go to school, but they didn't have any skill. They were less than illiterate. And so it says, the Lord is compassionate. Can we say amen? Amen. And the Lord is also what? Let's say it together. The Lord is what? The Lord is also what? Let's say it together. The Lord is also what? And what is he again? How does he act? Slow. Is there anybody here who gets angry quickly? Everywhere is quiet. You see that our character doesn't line up. See for yourself. I didn't write it. He said, showing to Moses his character. He said, I'm not quick tempered. Let it sink in. Filled with what? Unfailing. The next one. He will not constantly nor remain. The next one. He does not deal harshly. Is anybody here who deals with people harshly? Your children, harshly. At your job, harshly. Can we take roll call? Don't raise your hand. But let's say that. He does not deal harshly with us as we desire. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens from above the earth. He has removed our sins as what? Far from us as the east. So he made us righteous. That's why we don't accept righteousness, because we think God is wicked. He said, let me show you what I revealed to Moses about me. This is who I am. I have an unfailing love and compassionate. I'm not quick-tempered. I'm not going to deal with you the way you are, because I know, like Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. He even said it. Let's keep reading. He said it. The Lord is like a father to his tender. What is tender? Eh? What is the kind? Eh? Gentle? Eh? Soft-hearted? Let me come down. This is interesting. Gentle, tender, what again? Kind. How about? I don't like the way you talk to me. Don't talk to me like that. Whose character is that? Huh? It's flesh. And small thing. The thing is boiling. I don't even know what to tell you. God will judge us. I'm telling you, he's judging nobody, my friend. The Lord is like a father to his children. He is tender. He is compassionate to those who fear him. Then what else? For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. The Bible says he showed his character to Moses. Do you know that a lot of people in the church don't accept this? They don't believe this. They don't. That's why they think that grace is heresy. If you bring and say, and they said, somebody asked me in Lagos, I said, Pastor, shouldn't we preach judgment? I said, sure, as long as you preach it the way the Bible says to preach it. And I said, also remember that since you know a lot of judgment and you are going to preach to others about judgment, your own judgment will be higher. The man sat down. I said, yeah, the Bible says, be not too many teachers, for your own judgment will be what? Higher. I said, I hope you are sinless. I hope you are what? Sinless. Before you go preaching judgment, make sure you are sinless. So we'll come to church and we'll change our song. I said, there is one holy as the Lord, and that's you. Before you do those things, remove the log in your eye first. The man sat down. Quick. Ephesians 3:19 says, we should know the love of God. We should know the love of God. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It passeth knowledge, but we should know it. If we know it, then we are filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. The character of God. We know it. The Spirit of God transforms us to this. Transforms us to this. With all the fullness of God. Talk of anointing. Talk of power. Talk of power. David said, because he's my shepherd, he anoints my head with what? Oil, power. God is telling us now. Fullness of God. When a man is walking in the fullness of God, he's walking in power. Again, he reminds us of all these things that we're reading and talking about. He reminds us about the character of God, which is our new character. He reminds us that we are saved, reminds us that we are blessed in Christ. We are not under the curse. Reminds us who we are. We need to be reminded. He reminds us, John 14:26. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to remind you of all these things. If he doesn't remind us, we will not remember them. So he reminds us that we're saved. We're not under a curse. We're free. The Son of God has set us free. He'll remind you that the spirit you have is not the spirit of the world now. And you know that ignorance and forgetfulness produce the same effect. If I forget, if I'm supposed to bring something and I forget it, will I bring it? I'm asking. If somebody doesn't know he's supposed to bring it, will he bring it? So both of us, the same effect. Ignorance and forgetfulness will produce the same effect in a Christian. There's no difference. Ignorance, so knowing is important, but the Spirit of God needs to remind us so we don't lapse into becoming forgetful hearers who deceive themselves. Forgetfulness and ignorance will do the same thing to anybody. James 1:25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget, and don't what? Forget what you heard. Don't forget what you heard. Then God will bless you for doing it. Don't forget what you heard. Which means if you forget what you heard, you will not do it, and you miss the blessing it brings. And so God knows and sent us the Spirit of God to remind us, bring us into remembrance so that we don't slip into forgetfulness. We don't forget what you heard. If you don't forget what you heard, it's not enough to say, wow, that sermon was wonderful. No, if you don't forget what you heard, and it's the Spirit of God, if you understand how to fellowship with him, we remind you this. We remind you. So that if you don't forget it, then you're able to do it. Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. My people will be destroyed because they have no knowledge. So somebody who has no knowledge, somebody who forgets, they're in the same box. Nothing different. They're in the same box. So you see the importance of reminding us of all these things. Now, he administers all the graces of God. He brings them into reality because he watches over the word of God. He's the one that performs it. He builds you. He heals you. He helps you. He provides for you. He brings into reality everything Jesus died for us to have. So it's not just a theory, but it's a reality. He's the one that makes it happen. When you talk of healing, he makes it what? He makes it what? When you come to church, let me tell us something. You know this culture of, that's why I love this believers meeting. You need to come there. You develop. You know, we are used to a pastor sitting and praying for you. That's not God's perfect standard. God's perfect standard is for everybody to be able to pray and contribute. That's exactly what he said. He said the body. He said everybody in every part of the body contributes. Then the body grows and is healthy. It's in your Bible. When you come to church, clean up this idea somebody will pray for me then. Come there because you are meeting with the Spirit of God. And expect. Do what? I didn't hear you. Do what? I didn't hear you. Do what? Expect the covenant sealed with blood. What was given to you, expect him to administer it and make it manifest for you. If I'm a millionaire, okay, I'm a millionaire, if you like it or not. Okay, I'm a millionaire. You don't like me at all. I'm now a millionaire, so I want to walk like a millionaire. You have never been one, so you don't know how they walk. Whatever I tell you, you take it. Okay, my brother is in the world, can come to me now. Can you come to me? I'm now a millionaire. I have a lot of money. If he comes to me and we are related, you are children of God. You are what? If he comes to me, I'm his father, and my presence is here. Can he expect anything from me? Eh? Okay. If he comes to me and doesn't expect anything, what does he get? Nothing. But if he comes and know that I'm here to give him, I'm here to what? Give him. I'm here to what? Give him. The Spirit of God is here to take off the fullness of Christ and reveal it to you and give it to you. That's why he's here. He's here to bring you healing, which was paid for. He's here to bring you what you ask in prayer, because he said, if you ask, I'll give you. He's here to help you. He's here for you. He's here because you came. So now this is my, I'm like his father, and I'm wealthy. I have money. And he knows that I can always give it. If he comes and expecting, can he get it? What did Jesus say about the prodigal son and the brother? He said, oh, everything I have has always been what? Your own. You sat here, I didn't take it. You just sat here, I didn't take it. You come to Bible studies like this. What stops you from being healed? Is it wasn't provided for? Or is it the healer is not here? What stops it? You didn't expect it. It's yours. Have you ever come and said, Lord, I worship you. You are my healer right now. The Spirit of God is healing me. The power of God is healing me. It's a covenant right. Lord, I give you praise. You are healing me. Have you done it and you did see it? Didn't you just read that he prepared a table? What? What is on the table? Healing is the children's bread. The children need to go and eat. Am I right? Okay. How many of us will eat this evening? If you come, Life Center, Sunday school, whatever two or three are gathered, he's there. Anything can happen. He saw this waiting man of God. No. Erase that from your brain, my friend. The Holy Spirit himself is here. Who are you waiting for? He administers all of this. Makes it happen. That's why worship is important. Because when you worship in knowledge, the Bible says we should worship him, praise him with understanding. When you worship in knowledge, and you lift up your hands and say, Lord, you're here. Healing is here. You are here. My healing is here. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. Resurrection is not coming, I have come. So he can say, I'm the healer now. Healing is here. Provision is here. I'm your provider. It's right here. You focus on him and worship him for who he is. You see those things manifesting. You don't need a lot of prayer here. But when you come and dance, you are a miracle walking God. And after entertaining yourself, go. You didn't even worship him. But when you are dancing, Lord, you are a miracle working God in this place, in my heart, in my life. Miracle will happen. Miracle of this, miracle of this, miracle of this. Because my daddy, you are a miracle worker. I expect it to happen right now. Between you and him, you are having interaction. You are dancing, you are, between you and him, your spirit, calling to spirit, you are having what? As a man ticket in his heart, he will end up being. You come in the midst of plenty, you go with nothing. Because we have this mentality of one man ministry. That's not God's model of the church. The time of Pool of Siloam is over. Are you didn't hear me? The time of Pool of what? Is what? What they say, the first person that runs, no, this one, the thing is available. Break it. Am I shooting over your head? Can I hear amen? I said, can I hear amen? So we need to recognize his presence with us always and be aware of his presence with us. We need to talk with him. You know, when Jesus was here, he talked with his disciples all the time. They asked him questions. He even taught them to pray. The Spirit of God will teach you to pray, will help you to pray. One of the people was sharing with us how every time he wants to pray, the Spirit of God will not tell him what to pray about. And he found he never prayed for himself. He was always giving him prayer topics. He was just, this is the will of God. Pray for this person. Pray. Forget about your own. Pray for them. And that spirit inspired prayer. When you recognize, because he said, I'll tell the Spirit of God, I said, Lord, I want to pray. I want you to help me. So I pray, all right. You start showing him what to pray about. So we need to begin to learn to talk to him, spend time with him daily in studying of his word, so he can teach you his word, teach you his language, teach you his voice. You need to learn these things. You develop it with time. You learn his voice, learn his language. You got to learn his language. Pastor Daphne was, man, it was awesome on Sunday. He said, my language, if I want to teach it to you, he said, it will take you time. Same thing. You want to learn the language of God, you learn it the rest of your life. The more you learn, the better you are at it. You don't know the language of God because you come to Fountain of the Living Word Church. The Spirit of God has to reveal his language to you. It's called faith. Reveal his voice to you. That's why many people don't know the voice of God. So when God is talking, they don't know. And they go to the wrong people. But they don't know his voice. They're not definite about it. If you are definite about it, you know his voice. You will respond all the time because you know it's him. You know it's him. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 3:6. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to who? He went to the wrong place. And tell I. And said, here I am for you. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Brethren, if you begin to fellowship with him seriously, if you desire to develop intimacy with him, he will reveal his voice to you, reveal his presence to you. Let me tell you, you come to a point where you will know where he is. I'm not joking. You will know where, you will know what he's doing, you know what he's doing. By your spirit, you know he's here. You know what he's doing. It becomes very real to you. But you have to be interested in that. And you need to learn his word by studying his word, humbling yourself, humbling what? Yourself, submitting to being taught. In Psalm 25, verse 9. In Psalm 25, verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment. Who will he guide in judgment? The humble. The guys the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. You are meek when you submit to instructions he gives. You need to be at the Bible studies. You need to be at the Sunday school. You need to be meek. A meek person is easily entreated. There's no stubbornness in that life. If you want him to guide you, you need to honor him. Then look at Moses, and we finish with Moses. Numbers 12, verse 3. Numbers 12, verse 3. I'm reading, okay. Numbers 12, verse 3. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very what? Meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. The next verse. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a what? And what I will speak out to him, unto him in what? Dream. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all my house? With him now, you see the levels, different levels of communication God gives people. He said, if you have prophets, I show them this. He said, but this man Moses, the different communication level. He says, with him I will speak how? Mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, The level of communication with me is not what you people have. You say he will know where I am. He will know the similitude of God. He can tell you, God entered you. God, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is this. He can tell you. He said, the level of my communion with this man is not what even your prophets don't have it. I didn't know why. He said, he's meek, he's faithful. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said what? Praise the Lord. That's what I'm telling you. That you develop intimacy with the Spirit of God. It grows in degrees as you continue. You have to be consistent. Initially, you will see much. But if you are persistent in developing and praying about and say, Lord, I really need to develop intimacy with you. You see your communication with him begin to increase, begin to increase, begin to increase, begin to increase. After 2-3 years, you come to a level that will baffle you. You will know things just like this. You ask him, you hear him pump just like that. People are struggling with something. No, you know it. He said, my level of communication with Moses is totally different. It's not like all of you. Totally. He said, we see the similitude of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. He will see what? Similitude of God. I grant him that privilege. He said, when I talk to him, it's not in shadows. No, it's clear. You can get through. Mouth to, it's not vision. No. This is the level, another level of communication. The Lord will help us. I said, the Lord will help us. I said, the Lord will help us. Say the Lord will help us. How many of us desire to be at this level of communication with God? That's where we should want to be. Praise the Lord. There was one time we were downstairs doing prayer. Lord, okay, doing prayer. And I sat there downstairs. I just sat somewhere downstairs. And all of a sudden, they brought a baby and passed by me. I said, this is not vision. I just knew that they would carry this baby, and I saw where that baby ended. And I said to them, I said, they brought a baby here. I didn't see nothing, but I knew it was happening. And after some weeks, the people came to me and said, Pastor, it was awesome. I said, I knew I ended. I didn't want to talk about it because they didn't think me to talk about it. I knew it was there. You see the similitude of God. Praise the Lord. I want us to rise up and worship him.